This is the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, man's fourth visit to the lunar surface. Astronauts David Scott and James Irwin are continuing their second traverse by lunar rover to the foot of the Apennine Mountains, where they are carrying out geological studies, collecting rock samples, and taking photographs. In the past hour, the astronauts have been sending live television pictures back to Earth from one of their stops along the way. For a running account of this second EVA excursion, we take you now to the manned spacecraft center at Houston and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner.
Dave Scott and Jim Irwin have spent considerable time at their first stop on this second day of examining the surface of the moon. They've driven some 4.5 kilometers from the lunar module and down up the slope of the Apennine Mountain ridge to the south of the landing site. And for the last, I believe they've been there, almost an hour at least, sampling rocks, digging trenches, getting soil samples, taking photographs. An extremely good examination of this one spot. With us again, astronaut Fred Hayes, lunar module pilot on Apollo 13 and backup commander of the Apollo 16 mission. And Fred is practically a geologist as well as an astronaut. I would say, maybe you don't think so, Fred, but you certainly have dug deep into the lore of the geologist, and you were making the comment a moment ago that a true geologist could spend several years at just one spot in digging into the unknown.
Well, I think our background training makes us a fair field geologist. That is to look at a particular problem in the field and have a pretty good feeling for where and how and what to sample to allow somebody else to go back to the laboratory and come out with the data that tells all the right answers.
Dave Scott at this moment is climbing on board the lunar rover. And he says, let's listen.
We're going to drive over towards that large block, and if you think it's reasonable, we'll ask for about a 15-minute stop there, and afterwards we'll move on towards the fresh crater. What do you think?
Discussion with Mission Control on where to move to next with the rover.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
Going to drive over.
I don't think we're going to get any more variety of anything by going further to the east on the front, Joe. I think we've seen the variety that we're going to see. Except for working our way back.
Dave, we agree precisely with that down here. We think from your descriptions, that's exactly what we've been reading, and that's why we want you to move to the west.
Well, that means a change in the original plan.
It's a white albedo, but I think that's probably a secondary. I don't think that's excavated anything, do you?
No.
Let's head for that block.
Yeah.
Scott, another one. Can see quite well up on this ridge, up on the side of the mountain range, and they've been looking to the east toward this front crater area, which was their original destination for sampling. And you just heard the opinion that I don't believe we can get anything of that's any different from what we have here. So now they see something very interesting, a very large boulder they're going to drive to and apparently stop and examine.
Look how much more humming it is. It's just a different terrain.
The communication is rather staticky here. I'll try to repeat what Jim Irwin is saying. He said, boy, look up at the terrain. It's really hummocky here.
Which means undulating or rolling with small hills. Whereas it commented where they are driving now, it's really smooth.
They're underway. They're traveling in the rover. Oh, boy. That's quite scratchy sounding.
What do you think
They're bouncing. They're obviously bouncing a bit. We noticed when Jim Irwin got aboard the rover a few minutes ago that that rascal, that little machine, is quite springy. So as they go over these small rocks and bumps and tiny craters, there's apparently a good springing action. Don't you gather that, Fred?
Yes. They're stopped the rover now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's got blocks in the north rim.
See, beautiful, blocks. Jim. Try to get a lock on that beauty. Maybe some other landmarks around it so we can drive down to it.
No problem.
Okay.
Good spur for you, no problem.
They're talking about some blocks on the rim of a crater.
Yeah. Be careful you don't fall down. Get down.
That was Dave Scott said, you got to be careful you don't fall down getting out.
2 8 7 3 4 7 0 6 9 0 5 0 0 9 7. FMTV. 100 80 90 and motor temps are lower limit.
Okay, Jim, copied. And proceed carefully now.
Battery temperature is 80, 90 degrees. That's well within their ballpark.
Yes.
Their range.
And running somewhere between there and 95.
It's just hanging you up every time you turn around. I haven't had it on at all this morning, Dave.
Really?
Jim hung up on it? I haven't had it on.
No, the tool on the side of the rover.
Oh, I see.
Your feet keep hanging up.
And is this a steep slope?
Yeah.
Irwin is off the rover. He's going over to take a picture.
It sure is, isn't it?
Are they both off?
Yes, they're both off, and they're standing there on a very steep slope.
For lack of good antenna pointing, I'm going to bypass the TV this time.
Okay, Dave, whatever you say.
Going back PM1.
Okay, Dave, whatever you say.
Yeah.
Apparently the rover is on
PM1
a pretty
WB.
Good slope, too.
And, Dave, we're assuming that you can't get around to the right position beside the rover to point that antenna adequately.
Yeah, that's right, Joe, and the slope is real steep. And like I've mentioned before, the sighting device doesn't transmit enough light to really make it very easy to find the Earth. I think it'd take me a couple minutes there to be just to find you, and I think you've seen the same thing. But if you like, I'll give it a try.
Negative, Dave. We agree with you exactly. We're in good shape. Just proceed carefully on the soft powder.
Well, we saw.
Yeah, we're going to do that because it really is.
We saw in their first stop.
We didn't sample the amphenine front.
Jim, did you turn the DAC off yet?
Scott says you can't say we didn't sample the amphenine front.
Yes, so. I did, Joe.
Okay, good thinking.
Bad thing if he turned off the 16mm movie camera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's attack that boulder. You got your hammer?
Scott's saying let's attack that boulder.
Got to be up there to get back up there, you know.
Hey, troops, I'm not sure you should go down slope very far, if at all, from the rover.
No, it's not far. Let me try it, Jim. You just stay there.
Mission control.
I think we sidestep back up.
Well, make sure you check it now. Just proceed carefully.
Mission Control's a little worried about him getting on too steep a slope. We've already
seen. I'm halfway, and I'll go back first. Why don't you stay there, Jim?
We've already seen Scott lose his footing in this deep powder, powdery surface on the side of a crater where the surface was, it gave very little
footing. The rover makes it feel so easy. I know it. Should have parked right beside it. I think I will.
I think he said you should have parked right beside
him. But you will. I'll walk down, Dave. Want me to carry some of those tools? I can carry them easier.
This is a big boulder.
Dave, how's the footing?
I think I'll,
Question on the footing.
Well, the footing is all right, except that you have to work pretty hard to get back up. So
that's one of the concerns.
Jim, are you still up near the rover?
Wait a minute till I get there, Jim.
Yeah? Jim, let's ask you to walk around to the front there and just take a general rough guess as to where the Earth is. You don't even have to use the sighting device. Point it about correctly, and we're going to give the TV a try.
So they're going to try to...
Joe, I can see where the Earth is in general. But we're going to make a change here.
He's going to move the rover.
I'm going to drive down. If I get successfully down there, then Jim can walk down. So we don't have to expend all the energy.
Man, there's a beautiful little rock track here. It went in a circular arc.
Really?
Yeah. It rolled into the hill. It's amazing.
Jim Irwin.
Photograph it. Yeah, I am.
It says there's a beautiful little rock track here. It went in a circular arc into
the
hill.
It curved into the hill. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that on Earth?
A little angular
yes,
track.
Yes, I've seen boulder tracks.
Go circular.
Roger, Jim. Fantastic.
Hey, 2 inches. Do you
curved into the hill and stopped.
And that little rock has been there possibly thousands of millions of years.
Dave, are you driving now?
Joe, I'll give you a call, Jim. Stand by.
You know, apparently it's a rather steep slope.
In the meantime, I'll be taking a pass from here, Dave.
Mission control is a bit concerned about
that.
Jim Irwin's not going
to
take
a high point.
Panoramic
point.
Segment of pictures. It's a little unclear at this point who's where, I think.
Kim samples both the rock and the fine grain material under it and nearby. They can get a reasonable estimate of when the rock was originally formed as well as when it moved down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to bring back the one that had the circular arc, I take it.
I don't know. He mentioned just shooting pictures.
Uh-huh. When you say he's going to take a pan, do you think he meant of the
that's
area? Or just to the...
Yes, that is a 360 degree, roughly 18 to 22 pictures. Which enables you in after the flight to very closely tie down exactly where they are.
That's of the area, the horizon, not of the rock.
That's right.
Sure can.
Did you eye on me?
I am eye on you.
Can we back up gently here?
He is moving the rover. Is going to back up gently here.
So apparently, it is a high workload to get up and down that slope. And Dave has elected to move the rover down closer to the big rock they're going to be working on and alleviate their having to climb back up the hill.
Well, obviously, his communications antennae is out of alignment with the Earth, too.
That's right.
During this, while
he's moving a short distance, he probably has not bothered... readjusting the Omni.
Mm-hmm. So we've got some very staticky signals here. You can hear that in the background. I'm going to try to get the rover a little closer to the big boulder they're going to sample.
Proceed very carefully now, please.
Again, you hear the concern of mission control that they proceed carefully on this steep slope. Or relatively steep slope. We don't know how steep yet.
Super cool.
Yeah. Both Dave and Jim said they'd keep their cool. I think there's some of the concern from mission control is how much energy is being expended here and how much of that oxygen supply is being used up. It's a lot of work getting down and back up these steep slopes.
Well, of course, like working on a slope on Earth, there's always a chance that you can lose your footing and maybe slide or fall down slope at some length before you can manage to stop yourself.
And obviously, on the surface of the moon, inside the pressurized spacesuit, you don't want to take any chance that anything might puncture.
That's correct. It also, of course, might get a lot of dirt in the connections and fittings, which would add to problems for the subsequent EVA.
Mm-hmm. Dave apparently is... either still moving the rover or has not aligned those antennas yet. There was a discussion also just before they began to move. Dave Scott recommended that they proceed no further to the east, which would be down to the southeast of their present position, another 2 kilometers approximately, 2 to 3. toward what?
Just take a rough guess with that antenna. Give us the right switch setting, and we're going to give it a try with our big dish down here.
One of the 210-foot dish antennas is aligned with the moon here on Earth, so they can pull in even the weakest signal. Scott indicated that they don't believe it would be worthwhile pursuing this traverse all the way to Front Crater, because from their view up on this side of this hill, it's all the same. They're in the process of aligning their antennas now. I believe he stopped the rover by now. There's another crater right down there beside Front Crater, toward which they were to have moved, which is very interesting. And that's called Dandelion Crater. And that was one of Joe Allen's contributions. And it's named for a science fiction story by author Ray Bradbury called Dandelion Wine. It doesn't appear that they're going to go that far in the traverse. The astronauts are at this moment now trying to align those Omni antennas. Our associate, Laszlo Dosa, has been over to the science room here at our press center, where Dr. Harold Urey is watching, the Nobel Prize winner, who is one of our Nobel laureate, who is one of the people very interested in these lunar samples. And he says that he had thought that the surface in this landing area would be similar to that in the Apollo 11 and 12 sites. He thinks now, based on the astronauts' reports and experiences, that it's more like the Apollo 14 site, containing a lot of basaltic material. Fred Hayes.
Use your best judgment here. The block's not all that important, and we'd like you to spend most of the remaining time at Spur Crater, the remaining front time, that is.
So they may have to give up.
They may have another about an hour and a half
to
work along the
here.
Front before heading for Station 8.
Let's see.
This looks pretty steep, but I think there's not too much time there.
That's Dave Scott. I'll try to repeat.
Yes, sir.
He said this slope is pretty steep, and I just wondered how much time he should spend on that. Basalt is what, Fred Hayes? This basaltic material.
It's a variety of volcanic rock, pretty much what all of Hawaii, the Hawaiian chain, is made of, a good deal of Iceland, and we have quite extensive basaltic flows that I've worked in the southwestern and U.S., as well as up in Oregon, northwestern United States.
Mm-hmm.
Can you photograph it, Jim?
Let's see if we can see what this is Jim Irwin is trying to photograph.
If anybody's ever seen the dark volcanic flows, pictures of dark volcanic flows in Iceland or Hawaii, those are basalts.
Mm-hmm. Jim Irwin's trying to get a picture of something. He said, careful, Dave, that slope is apparently quite tricky. Their communications antenna on the rover apparently is not too closely aligned with the Earth at this moment. So we're having this staticky signal coming back. The rover is on a steep slope. The astronauts are trying to negotiate this excursion at this point on a steep slope, being cautioned by mission control to be very, very careful. They're trying to get the object here, I believe, from what I gathered of the earlier conversations, was to knock off a small sample from a big boulder, which they could see.
Yes, they reported that it was very distinctive because it was quite large,
They can see it.
They haven't really reported since they've been up close to it how big. They had estimates before of 5 to 25 meters. And it kind of stood out because there just weren't many of those around. It was kind of a singular example.
That obviously is the kind of thing which very well could come from the deepest, oldest parts of the moon.
That's correct.
Upheaval, yeah. Which formed the Apennine Mountains. Let's hope that is so. So remember the great large boulder on the steep slope. We quite possibly may hear quite a bit about that from the scientists when they get the sample back and examine it. Unfortunately, communication is a bit bad at this point in this very interesting part of this lunar excursion. He says a very rough...
typical Brescia.
Now, description.
And it looks like, it appeared to me like there's a layer there that might be 1.5-2 feet thick. Appears a light greenish color. Dave sampling right now.
Roger, Jim, copy you loud and clear. Superb. Roger, Jim, copy you loud and clear. Superb.
And then the side to the southeast is again the Brescia. Isn't that right, Dave?
Yeah, and I got a little frag. Don't drop it.
Got a little fragment of this
there,
big boulder.
I got some green, and I got a frag out of the Brescia.
This is he's describing a fragment he has mm-hmm. out of the southeastern side.
It was still scratchy, and he when he gave the dimensions, and he said it was about 3 meters long. So it's a pretty fair-sized rock.
Mm-hmm. And they could spot that from some distance away.
He said it was subangular, which means it's sort of jagged.
Its
edges are sharp.
Uh-huh.
They're using geological tools to knock these... hammer, tongs, to knock these pieces off.
And it's once again a composite rock. He mentioned the Brescia, which itself is a combination of soil and rock that's welded together. And then a very distinct light green band of crystals that they're also sampling from this rock.
I heard just a sort of a grunt there as he's working hard.
Got a little bit of the green. I got a chunk about 3 inches of the rock itself.
That's Dave Scott. He's working with the
Roger,
tools.
Roger, Davey, copy. Roger, Davey, copy.
And I think we'll call it quits on that one.
Sounds good, Dave. We're interested in moving towards spur, but carefully.
Yeah, but carefully. Okay, Jim, just stand right there and let me ease on down. Yeah. That's going to take us a while to work down slope.
So that ought to prove to be one of the most sought-for samples. With
I think it's probably best for you to get on first. Yeah, I think so.
Dave's going to get on the rover first. He must be on the uphill side. Would you assume that, Fred?
To weigh it down a little bit, yes.
Put this...
Unfortunately, they didn't have... since the rover's...
I'll put it under my seat. I can put it under mine.
Putting some of the stuff under the seat.
Won't go anywhere. Trouble is, if I get on first, I'm not sure you're going to have a seatbelt.
Well, I don't know that I want to drop in. I can hold on. We're not going to go that fast here.
That's for sure.
So Dave Scott's getting on the rover, and Jim Irwin says, I'm not sure I want to get on. We're not going to go too fast here. Apparently, he's on the downhill side of the rover, I would speculate. Scott says, okay, I'm on.
Strap in? Yeah, let me strap in.
Strapping in. They must be fairly horizontal
just a minute.
With
let
the rover
get
on this fairly steep slope.
The
soil very loose in this area.
Let me,
hard to get
down the hill here to a flatter spot for you to get on.
Dave's going to
okay.
ease on down the
okay,
hill
yeah.
for a flatter spot.
You see right at 1 o'clock there? It levels out in a little depression. Right down here, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you go back there? Let me.
So Jim is having a little trouble getting in.
Move away from it so I won't hit you.
Dave is on board and going to move to a level spot.
Okay. Back off good.
The astronauts have been outside now 3 hours and 6 minutes. Because I'll meet you down there where it's level.
If you want, I'll meet you at spur. No. I think I go right down here.
Spur crater is a distance back.
Easier for you to get on. Just so you stay uphill. The uphill side.
Caution from Jim Irwin cautioning Dave to be sure to stay on the uphill side with that rover.
There.
Turned in that direction.
That's a nice spot right there. Okay. There.
So they've sampled a very interesting crater area up on the side of the Hadley Delta, part of the Apennine front. They've moved down to an interesting big boulder protruding from...
Let me hold it for you and maybe give it a try.
Protruding from down deep. Now they're getting in the rover again. Dave's got in and strapped down. There's Jim Irwin climbing in and easy, says Scott.
Okay, ready. Okay.
On board.
Okay, Joe, we're moving now.
Scott says we're moving
okay,
now.
Okay, Dave, and Jim, if you can easily turn the camera on, might be a good place.
No chance right now, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Let us ease our way down.
That's the movie camera.
Yes. Yeah, they have not given an estimate of slope, but apparently they're in excess of 10 degrees up where they've been working.
That's okay, Jim.
10
to
15.
About how steep a slope can you safely negotiate, say, horizontally, as you're moving across
I'll
it?
I'll take a little right turn here.
I think Al and Ed on 14 were working upwards of 20 degrees. Going up a cone crater.
How about with the rover? How steep a slope can you safely negotiate it horizontally?
I don't really know for sure, but if you had the traction so the wheels are not slipping, stability-wise, you should be able to go 25 degrees at least.
Mm-hmm. Because of the very low center of gravity there. They're moving again.
Jog here.
And, Dave, give us a call as you come up towards spur. We've got some parking instructions.
You hear...
parking instructions, okay.
You hear...
Let's see, do we want to hit the upper rim or the lower rim of spur? I see that large block on the northern rim. Yeah, I think we should work down to the northern rim, right? Yeah, if we're going to sample any blocks there on the rim, that'd be the place to do it. Yeah.
They can see Spur Crater, apparently, and they're going toward the rim of it.
Dave, we'd like for you to park east of the area you're going to be working in.
You can hear Joe Allen's voice going all the way to the moon and back. When you hear the repeat of those instructions, that is transmitting all the way to the moon and being relayed back through the communications unit. And so we bring to a close this particular report of David Scott and Jim Irwin on the surface of the moon. This second excursion, some very interesting samples. Thanks very much to Fred Hayes for being with us. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
You're listening to the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, now 145 hours, 25 minutes into the mission. Astronauts Scott and Irwin are continuing their second traverse by lunar rover along the Apennine Mountains. Following the news, the Voice of America will return to the air with its special coverage 15 minutes from now at 15 hours 15 for a further report on the second traverse in the lunar rover. Our thanks to astronaut Fred Hayes and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. This is Les Higby at the Apollo News Center. This program has come to you from the United States of America.